Oh, hi, podcast listeners. There's many ways you can listen to the Real Nerds Podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes. You can also subscribe on Stitcher Radio. You want to send us a Twitter message? You can do that. It's so easy, at Real Nerds. Like us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. You can visit our website, realnerdspodcast.com, where there'll be a lot of articles for you to not only read, but to listen to our previous shows. Do you like your stories told through pictures? Then you can also follow us at Real Nerds on Instagram. You can also call us, 720-6NERDS5. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Camera, action!
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd
doesn't
can...
Doesn't talk film! I'm sorry.
Take it outside.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd will give it all they got. Lights, camera, action!
Welcome to Real Nerds Podcast. We are the best movie podcast on the internet. And you can see us in 1 month's time at the Colorado Convention Center at Denver Fan Expo, July 4th through the 7th. We are the one, the only, a top 10 biggest surprise from last year's Fan Expo, the Real Nerds Podcast. I'm joined by Brad. Brad, how's it going today?
I'm still busy, man. Still busy. This booth we're making that's going to be even more of a surprise this year is taking a toll.
You've put in a lot of hard work. I already have. I went to a family barbecue last week, and I was wearing our Hell to the Nerd shirt. And one, all my family members go, "Oh my god, I want that shirt!" You know, yeah, you say that when we only make a small amount of them. And two, I showed them the stickers that you made and the pizza boxes, and they got all hyped. So my cousins are our age. So if it connected with them, I think we're going to have another winner on our hands.
Maybe we should start a bidding war for those pizza boxes, because there's only going to be 10 of them. So
yep.
Maybe so they want them so bad, they'll pay a premium for it.
Yeah. Hey, if they're gone the first day, they're gone the first day. There's nothing I can do about it. They're extremely limited. The press we took them to says we can only print 10 because these are so cool. They wanted to create a demand. So when you go on eBay, instead of the $20 swag that you buy for it, you know, they're going to go on the secondary market for probably a couple hundred would be my guess.
Oh gosh. Like, it's one of the most valuable things that come out of the con. I think they get resold.
I mean,
someone's going to buy Spider-Man 15 for like $1,200, and it's going to be like side by side on eBay with our pizza box, which is going for $2,000, you know?
Yep. And people are like, "Oh my God, I want that so bad."
Cause there's still
be a great
probably
day
like,
for everybody.
Still probably like 1,000 copies of that issue out there, but there's only 10 of these boxes. So
exactly. We had to. We didn't want to create such a demand that we'd be overwhelmed with people buying them from us. So,
yeah, there's only two of us at the booth, maybe three.
Yeah, there's only two of us in the booth, so you're gonna have to, you know, get there early to get it.
Yeah, we'll sign it. We'll make it more valuable. We'll put totally. Our signatures on it.
Whoa, Brad, we're charging for our signatures, right? That's what everybody does.
Pay $20 for our box of junk, and then another $20 for our signatures.
Yeah, and then another $20 for a selfie with us. I mean,
yeah, we have like our own photo op line.
That would be a funny booth if we did that next year. Is just make it like a celebrity signing booth.
They wouldn't put us in the celebrity section, so we just made our own. There's just vultures circling our line. Just nothing there.
That'd be so funny.
Pretend we're huge stars.
Meet the real nerds.
We only show up to the booth like for 10 minutes out of each day.
Yeah. And then our panel, we're 15 minutes late too. And Just go the full celebrity route.
That'd be such an Andy Kaufman style. Like, we build like a basic booth this year. And we just put a sign up that says the Real Nerds will return in 15 minutes. And we never show up to it.
It'll be the most meta art. It'll be like the Shia LaBeouf fan expo booth.
We just make Zach sit there the whole weekend telling people, like, I think they'll be back in like 15. Keep checking back. They're at a lot of panels.
And the only thing that's on our table is just a couple Sharpies. No, yeah. Like, photos, nothing.
No 8x10s, just a acrylic sign that says they'll be back. Yeah.
Yeah. And see, we can joke about this because is this our 12th one?
I think so.
Because everyone we've been to, this is what's happened. But hey, we still have a great time. We appreciate being invited by them. So make sure you come by and see us. We're just really funny. We're like the South Parks of podcasts. We're just ahead of our time, you know, and everybody expects us to be, you know, edgy. So
yeah, we're here to
look for that booth next year, the Real Nerd signing booth.
We're here to flip the script and change the game on convention booths, because we've done 12 yes. of them and we know how it goes, and they're pretty boring.
Yes. This week on Real Nerds Podcast, we saw In a Violent Nature. Stay tuned. We'll recommend the film or not, play the trailer, and then spoil the film. We'll also talk about the big movie news of the week and things we've watched throughout the week. Brad, busy? Nothing else going on in your life? You haven't cured cancer or anything?
I mean, I'm working on it, but it's taking a backseat to making the Ruiners booth. And then I think this week, as this episode drops, I have a screening at the Esquire to do.
Save that for our news segment and we'll talk about it.
Okay. So yeah, getting that done, and I'm filming around the screening. So I have to create a short film this week and tell people and get all that organized. And then next month I have Radley Fest. So I got to get all my videos ready a week after.
Oh my God. Is this just about you? Fuck.
It is all about me. You asked me what I was doing. It is all about me. And then once that's done, I will do something for everyone else and cure cancer. Okay. Is that fine with you?
Thank you. Thank you.
What did you do, Ryan?
Nothing. I just worked all week.
Yeah.
I have nothing cool to say.
The citizens of your town. Not important, obviously.
Not at all.
Demanding as what I'm doing, clearly.
I agree. I mean, curing cancer is a bitch.
Yeah, I have to get a degree, man. I have to go back to school. It sucks.
This week on Real Nerd Podcast, we saw In a Violent Nature. Brad, do you recommend In a Violent Nature?
I don't know. I was bored by it mostly, but it is kind of interesting in parts. Like, I think if it was a short film, I would have been more into it, but overall, there just wasn't a lot to enjoy for me.
This is actually one of my favorite movies of the year. I like the subtleness of it until the violence happened. I thought it was an interesting premise. I took my wife, and she was thought about it, about what you did. That it was cool, it was boring, and she wanted to move quicker. But I loved it. I thought it was just interesting and fun. And that a movie like this was put in theaters, I think, is pretty cool. Here's the trailer for In a Violent Nature.
Thank you. animals don't get too hung up on reason. They just keep killing.
The premise for this film is really simple, and there's really not too much of a plot to it. It takes what we know about slasher films, and instead of following the annoying teenagers, we follow the killer pretty much the whole runtime of the movie.
Literally.
It's really fascinating to me because I always thought, when I watch Friday the 13th, I says, man, what does Jason do in between killing people? And this movie answers that question that all they do is just walk constantly. But there's something eerie about the quietness of the film because there is no music in the movie. And the camera is positioned directly behind this guy named Johnny, who's the killer. But I thought, too, the camera was really clever at some parts when it was following him, how it would kind of mimic his movements. The audience I saw it with really kind of dug it, and it was kind of cool to see, him snap eventually. If you want to know the story, he was a special needs child who was killed by these rangers. His dad seek vengeance, and he was killed too. And then he came back from the grave to kill people.
You got that? Because I didn't get that at all. Yeah. All I got was like the kid stole the medallion and he wanted it back. That's the only thing I connected.
That was his mom's locket that his dad gave him. They told the whole story at the campfire. The locket was his mom's, and that when he buried him and they took the locket off of his burial site, that's what made him wake up.
He had an air tube in there. So like, does he sleep in there?
I think it was just a grave marker. I don't think it was an actual air tube.
I thought it was like a piece of PVC pipe he was like breathing through. And then
no.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he's an undead thing.
That's what I was confused about. I was like, I'm pretty sure this dude's undead, but like, why does he have an air tube going into the soil? Like, cause I thought like, the opening, they just show the forest and you just hear the people talking and then the medallion, the locket. I thought they were grave robbers or like they're burying somebody. So I thought that like they buried this dude and they thought he was dead, but he was alive. And then he crawled back out of the.
Nope.
Yeah.
They just found that locket. And it was marking his grave, and when they took it, he woke up, went to go get it.
Okay. Well, like I said, yeah. I was also during that campfire thing more looking into the background to see if I could spot Johnny more than listening to the kids themselves, but anyway.
Yeah, and I mean, I like the lighting in the movie, too, because they only use natural lighting. It gave it kind of a nature documentary vibe to it.
I kind of got the vibe of like, we just watched Sasquatch Sunset. We're just kind of like watching things exist. And then also like the sound design and everything, I kind of felt like I was playing a Jason video game and like you just hear the NPCs in the background like mumbling and having conversations. And so, because the camera's always locked behind Johnny when he's walking around, it just felt like I should be like controlling him with my hands. Like, I hear people in the distance. I should go like investigate and maybe find the thing that's going to take me to the next like objective.
Yeah, it definitely has the vibe of, a third person like horror game for sure.
Yeah.
Of course, what everyone talks about is the yoga girl he kills, which is like really brutal. In my theater, I had this woman next to me who was screaming and hiding her head. because he literally, for people listening at home, it's hard to describe, but he pulls her head through her stomach. it's pretty fucking gory.
He stabs her through the back and then puts the hook
in the top of
through
her
the hole, and then through the head, and then pulls her head down through the hole in her. There's a lot of gnarly kills in here for sure. Like they're not so realistic that you're like, oh my god. Like,
yeah,
it's clearly a dummy when they do that kind of stuff. And like when they kill the ranger, they switch in and out of focus to hide the fact that they're switching dummy bodies and stuff. Although when they do take off his head, that was like, wow, that is pretty convincing. But
yeah, I thought the movie, I thought it was shot well. It's just a cool movie, and I really liked it because it's so unique. And I mean, I get why it's divisive too. We actually ran into a friend when I saw it last night, and he says, "Man, I was really on board until the ending, and then the ending pissed me off." Because it kind of just it's done on purpose, and I mean, I'd have to listen to the director and writer, but you keep on expecting Johnny to show up and do something, and he never does.
I expected that woman who picks her up in the car, I thought was going to find out that, like, oh, it's Johnny's mom or something, and she's also a killer or something.
Yep, but nope, just ends. And then it pans that he got his locket back, so he has no reason to chase him. I actually thought it would have been interesting if he does show up and kill everybody, and then they did that pan and his locket was still there. But, you know, he... when he killed that one guy who says, "I'm going to make a distraction," he's like, "Hey, behind you!" And he just rams that fucking axe in his head.
Yeah, what was that dude's strategy? Like,
I don't know, to get an axe in the head.
He's talking to his girlfriend, saying like, "Okay, yeah, here's the plan. I'm going to create a distraction." Like, your distraction is just to kill yourself. Okay.
Well, it worked.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. I know how he got behind him, either. But okay.
Yeah. Who cares? Create the cool effect.
And I was also like, I guess I nodded off at one point early on because I woke up and he had that goofy mask. And I was like, that's not a terrifying mask. Sorry. It just looks like a giant, like, fly.
So that's in the story, I guess it's an old firefighter mask. And the first guy he killed, he threw his body into this display at this ranger station and took it out of.
I guess I fell asleep at that part.
So yeah, I really liked it. My wife thought it was okay. You thought it was okay too. And there's really not much more to say. It's literally all, you're just following this killer killing people.
that's all there is to it. And it's like, it's not something I would ever watch again, but in the moment I was like, okay, I see some interesting things going on here, but it's just not something I'm like so cool that I would want to, you know, with again.
Agree to disagree, my friend.
Yeah, so how many times are you gonna watch it from here on out?
I'll definitely buy it, and hopefully there's a making of and everything on it, so I can listen to a commentary and stuff. So I'll watch it multiple times for sure.
Also, when he goes to that cabin in the beginning, like there's the one dude fighting with the ranger, and the ranger is in the other room, but he shoots the gun at nothing. I don't know.
No, he was arguing with the ranger, and the ranger left, and then he went in there because that dude had a medallion and it just said number one motherfucker on it.
Yeah. And the guy who lived there, he was outside, and then he came into his own house and then fired the gun, but he didn't see Johnny. He just fired the gun for no reason.
I think he thought it was the ranger and he shot at him, which, I mean, is reasonable.
Well, Johnny like turned around and there was like no one there, and then he walked into the other room and then the guy was there. So like, did he run and hide and try to reload? I don't.
No, I think it was just the camera, how it was set up.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. I'll have to watch it again. I know what you're saying, but I can't place how it played out in my head. So when you watch it, email us in and let us know.
Yeah. I don't want to watch it again to figure it out. So tell me. I don't care that much, but I do want to know.
This is the big news story of the week.
It's real news.
Now, Brad, normally I save the big news story for Hollywood, but you're so much bigger than Hollywood. And you're actually doing something really cool for Denver Film, even though it's revolved around a sad happening. Why don't you tell us what's going on in June?
Yeah, so I think on the last episode I teased that I was trying to get Jean-Claude Van Damme's Dan Van to screen as a double feature with UHF, and MGM Amazon said no to that. So I was like, great. I got 2 hours. My film's only 35 minutes. What do I fill the other hour and a half with? And I could have just, you know, done my own films and had like five people show up. I was like, you know what? I will use my Hollywood generosity to share the space with other filmmakers like me who have dreamed screening their films at the Esquire before it goes. So I reached out, put a call out for films, got a bunch. And yeah, June 12th, 7 to 9 p.m., you can watch my film and theirs at the Esquire for free. Just show up. You do have to buy concessions. Well, you don't have to buy concessions, but if you have to pay for anything, it's concessions.
But can we do a tease that you haven't had popcorn until you had Esquire popcorn?
Absolutely. I'm not even exaggerating. Like, and we've had this discussion with many people. Like, I don't know what they're going to do with that kettle, but I want it. Like, it's even better than like the Mayan and the Shea Artis kettle. So
yep.
There's something about the Esquire one that's just fabulous. So yeah, definitely get you some popcorn while you're there. And, we're actually in the big theater. I thought we were going to be in the upstairs one, but it's in the big one. So it's a huge presentation. And come hang out and enjoy the space with me.
I think that's really cool. That's because, you know, the Esquire is part of Denver film history. And it's really sad that it's going to go away and that you are kind of having one of the last hurrahs there. I think it's a big deal.
Yeah, there's the 5th. And the 19th, there's other filmmaker things going on. And actually, the screening on 19th wants to do an interview with us. So,
oh, cool.
Their film is showing the week after. So, all those Wednesdays in June, check them out. Just for any reason, just go to a late night there before it goes. See the Room of Rocky Horror for the last time at the end of the month. Furiosa is playing there right now. So, plenty of good reasons to go.
Hell yeah.
And I guess while we're promoting other stuff, the drive-in's open, 88 Drive-In. Go give them some of your business. They've got If and Ghostbusters, I think.
Oh, that's a fun double feature.
Yeah.
We watch films throughout the week in a segment I call What We've Been Watching.
So, this is the stuff we've been watching.
Brad, what'd you watch this week?
Like last week, not a lot because I'm just doing all this other project stuff. Now I'm just thinking I still haven't put up all the interviews from last year, and it's 3 weeks away for the new ones. So great. Got to get that.
I know, you son of a bitch. If you would have put them up last year, we'd not be doing it.
I'm the worst. I was like, I was going to
say it, but you said it already. So
yeah, no one's going to record with us this year because they're like, oh, what's the point? Because I won't see it until 2025. Okay.
Yep.
But, you know, instead of putting up interviews, I did go to Late Night at the Esquire and watch The Cook, the Thief, His Wife, and Her Lover.
All right.
It's a film from 1989 with Helen Mirren, Michael Gambon, not Eli Roth, Tim Roth.
wow. Eli Roth's been around forever.
Yeah. This movie about a cook who owns a restaurant in some British place, I think, or maybe Scottish. I don't know. European. Michael Gambon, the thief, although for a large chunk of the movie, I just thought he was a politician. His wife.
What's the difference?
Well, yeah, exactly. That's the commentary of the movie. You're ahead of it. You're ahead of the game here.
Nice.
His wife is Helen Mirren, and, they go to dinner and she spots this dude at another table who becomes her lover. And she is married to the thief, and I guess he's like a gangster and he owns the restaurant now. So he's making the cook do all this stuff and in the restaurant for him. And then, yeah, his wife is like, I hate this guy I'm married to, and so I'm going to have this affair with this bookworm who's making eyes at
Nerd!
Each other. Yeah. And they bone a bunch in the restaurant under the nose of her husband. And it's kind of like, I don't know, the story's not that interesting because it's just like an affair. But what's cool about the movie is I'm pretty sure it's a play. And so it's this the whole movie's like, I think on one soundstage. And so there's like like the dining room of the restaurant set. And there's like a set for, the back of house where they make the food. And then there's like
kitchen.
Outside. Yeah. The kitchen. Yeah. That's the word. And then there's like outside where all the trucks are for the supplies. And there's a bathroom. And when they move between each of those sets, it's like very like horizontal. The movie's very horizontal. Like it's like the camera sliding like Wes Anderson, like left to right. A lot of times when they move between the scenes, because each of the sets has a specific color associated with it, their costumes change. So like Helen Mirren in the dining room and everyone's like, you know, got a red tie as an accent, or she's got a full red dress and the walls are red, and she'll get up and then the wall will move. The camera will pass through the wall and then the bathroom will be plain white. But as she walks through the door, her costume goes from red to white. And I didn't notice it until like the second time she goes. And so, yeah, for the rest of the movie, like Michael Gambon gets up and he goes to the kitchen. It goes from red to green. And then when people go outside, it goes from green to blue. And it's like, yes, it's like the subtle effect that's like, wow, that's actually, how do they do that? Because they're like walking and talking when they do it. So it's not like they just cut in the black when the wall goes through it. Like the sound, like their mouth is going through. So and Michael Gambon gets like I think 90% of the lines in the movie. He's just constantly talking, so like as an actor it must be like a treat to just like perform for almost like an hour and a half straight.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it's like technically it's a super cool movie, I think. And it's like really graphic and like they do horrible things to like the people in the kitchen. And like, there's this guy, the movie opens with this guy outside, like getting like mauled by dogs and like shit smeared on him.
All right.
Yeah. And there's like tons of nudity, male and female. But yeah, technically as a filmmaker, it's like, wow, how did they do that? Like, how did that work? Cool stuff. And yeah, I saw Furiosa in 4DX.
How was that in 4DX?
I only ever see like 4DX at weird, like late times. And I probably should just see it at like 7 o'clock prime time. Cause I feel like they pull some of the effects to like conserve them for other shows. So like if the 10 o'clock doesn't have like 50 ticket sales, they're like, let's not do the rain or the fog.
Interesting.
So, yeah, there's just like I'm watching the movie and like, you know, the chairs move like that's the biggest effect of 4DX, but the sign outside shows all these other ones. Like I felt like I'd see fog because all the engines and everything. I didn't see any of that. I didn't smell a ton of burning rubber, which seems like an obvious one.
Yeah, no doubt.
Or sand, or like they had that, you know, the peach in the beginning that could have been like a sweet smell. Like I just didn't like smell anything. There weren't a lot of like light strobing effects, but I was also in the front, so I don't know if that's like this back half thing that people see. And the water, like I only got it on like on the back of my ankles. But yeah, there's water in the movie. Nothing rained from the ceiling, nothing like the button that was on the armrest for water, but yeah, I don't remember anything coming out. So yeah, it's just like it feels like every time I give it a shot, it just says they even gave me a survey afterwards. I was like, I scored them super low because I'm like, come on.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you pay the extra $10 to get that experience, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I felt bad because as a Regal Unlimited, it was only like $7 for me. When it's like actually $25,
You still have to pay another $7 for it, though, you know?
Yeah, but it's disappointing, and Yeah, I don't know if I would come back for another one, because just I feel like no matter what time you're going, if this is what's happening, like, you should be getting the same experience. So, yeah, I'll find some other, maybe Deadpool and Wolverine. I'll go to 7 o'clock and see if it's different at all. But yeah, I was kind of like, oh, cool. I paid $7 to just get tossed around in my seat for 2.5 hours. Cool. And get, like, I hate the air cannons next to the ears. It's not an effect that convinces me that it's, like, tied to anything on screen. It's just like they're just surprising you for the sake of surprising you.
Yeah.
Like, someone swiping a knife next to my ear it's not a blast of air, you know? It's like,
yeah.
It should be like more of a whisper.
You know, I've actually had good luck with it. The coolest movie I saw was Rise of Skywalker. And when they did the crawl, it actually tilted your chair back. And because it was 3D as well, so it tilted the chair back. And so the crawl was going, like, directly across your face. And when they were fighting on that down Death Star, one side would flash red, the other side would flash blue, and the water was going everywhere. And then Kellen and I saw the Mario movie there, and it was really fun. And when they were throwing banana peels, it had, like, a banana scent to it. So I've had good luck with it.
Yeah, I think, because, yeah, you probably saw those early in the day with your kid. And yeah, I think,
yeah, like round 4 or something.
Yeah, I think they must, like, conserve fog juice and scent stuff by not doing it the later ones. So there was they had the preview for Wolverine and Deadpool where, like, they have the Madonna song in there. Uh-huh. And the seats did, like, shift in a way that it felt like you were dancing. Like, it was a very, it wasn't just, like, nonsense moving around. It was, like, very specific, like, rhythmic jolts to, like, left and right, like, your hips were swaying. So I was like, oh, that's, like, a really specific programming that's kind of cool. So I look forward to, yeah, when that movie comes out, what they're gonna do. But yeah, for this one, I blew it and saw it too late in the evening.
Interesting.
So what'd you see?
Yeah, I'm like you. I only watched one movie. I watched 2004's Phantom of the Opera. And again, it's a Blu-ray I've owned that I haven't watched. I've seen the movie before, and my wife really wanted to watch it. And so I'm watching it. I go, and I just did a log in my Letterboxd. I said, man, I gave this 4 stars. Because as I'm watching, like, this is kind of cheesy. But then I really got into it. I said, oh, okay, this movie is pretty good. The performances are great. Joel Schumacher is the right director for it. It's very elaborate and very fanciful. And so I ended up getting into it and really liking it. I forgot that it was 2.5 hours long, though. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning and is hoping the movie is almost over. Like, fuck. yeah, a fun movie. I had a lot of fun watching it again. The thing I did spend go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, like, I did watch that recently, I think, for my, like, October movies last year, but it's, like, one of the most normal Joel Schumacher movies, which is weird to say because it is so, like, flourishy and elaborate. But yeah, I think it's one of his best pieces of work for sure.
Oh yeah, for sure. And he's the right director for it. I've been spending a lot of my time playing Hogwarts Legacy on PlayStation 5. It takes place a lot of years before Harry Potter. And you just become a wizard at Hogwarts, and it's one of those open world games. So you can drive the story, you can do errands for people. It's pretty fun. I didn't get it when it came out right away. I wanted it to drop to like $30, and it eventually did. But it's definitely well made, and and the acting and the controls are really fun. So if you're looking for a kind of a fun adventure game, it's a cool one to pick up. And this week I'm going to be starting Paper Mario and the Thousand Year Door on the Switch. So I'm excited for that. That's all I've been doing this week. I've been working. I watched one movie and played shit tons of video games.
Yeah. I can't believe Thousand Year Door is out already. Like, I played it on the GameCube, but I got to, like, I think this very close to the end, and I got stuck in a loop that I couldn't get out of. Like, I saved in, like, a bad spot. So I kept, like, when I'd get killed, I'd come back in a spot where I couldn't level up.
Oh, that sucks.
And I couldn't go back. So I was like, oh, I guess this game's over. Or I get lucky. So
what's cool is I pre-ordered it through GameStop because I got a slipcover for the Switch, and it's the GameCube slipcover. So you put the slipcover on it, it has the GameCube artwork and everything on it and the logo and stuff. It's really cool.
Damn.
I
didn't know about that. That's something
I didn't know about it until 2 days before it came out. So I put it in and I was hoping that I was going to get it, and it showed up at my door in the slipcover. So it's dope.
Yeah.
And yeah. Brad, what are we seeing next week? I don't even have a clue what we're seeing next week. I forgot to look.
Gosh, I don't know either. I mean, I did look ahead, but again, like, my brain is all over the place for all these other things I got to do that.
Give me a second. Oh, it's Inside Out 2.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Sure, that's what I have on the calendar. It's June 7th. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Bad Boys Ride or Die.
I'm going to see if there's something else we can watch.
The Watchers is unlimited, so it might be at the Alamo.
Why have you on the phone? It's, let's find out. Let's see. It'd be Thursday. Anywhere. The Watchers is definitely there.
I mean, it's M. Night Shyamalan, so my expectations are the bottom, but I feel like that's in our wheelhouse.
Yeah, so it's either The Watchers or Bad Boys Ride or Die. Since I haven't seen the third one, maybe The Watchers.
That Ballerine movie is supposed to be out, according to Box Office Mojo. I never seen a trailer for it.
Yeah, that got postponed. I think till next year. Or maybe October, something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, Back to the Future Part 2 is playing.
I actually already have tickets for Wednesday.
Do you?
I could do that.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah. Again, it's a very slow blockbuster-less summer right now, so.
Yep.
Totally used to having, like, big tentpole after tentpole, and that's not happening.
Yeah.
So, yep. Yeah.
Yeah, well, until
come see
next
us in
week,
2 weeks to
finish, see you at the movies. Oh, yeah, that's right. We'll be there. Bye.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot a real nerd.
Thanks for listening to Real Nerds Podcast, a Nebulous Visions production. Stream or download episodes, read articles at realnerdspodcast.com. Stream us on Apple or Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. Follow us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. Twitter and Instagram, at Real Nerds. Watch us on YouTube, Real Nerds Podcast. Email us at realnerds@gmail.com. Call us at 720-6NERDS5. Thank you to Sparks Mandrill, Mike at Plan 9 Studios, and Bolognium for all of our groovy theme songs. And that's how you fucking do it!